Chapter 20. Echternach. We found another forest further south. It was a bad idea to camp in the wood outside Rothenburg. There were many hard men who'd lost money there. Many of them gave us the eye as they slunk away after Geffen had finished playing. After they were gone, we nodded at each other, hitched up the cart, and made for new territory. We passed over some fields, then a few hills, the heather of the woods dampening our legs in moisture. Later in the day, we saw some trees in the distance and decided to camp somewhere within. We wanted a fire and liked the idea of the trees to help hide our smoke from others. When I asked, Geffen said he wasn't sure which forest it was or even if it had a name. And because I didn't have a clue either, we agreed to call it the Forest. The day's travel was conducted in silence. Geffen was always quiet after fighting, and I never could tell if it was because he enjoyed fighting very much or that he didn't enjoy it, but it was the only thing he did very well. I was used to being alone most of the time, so the silence didn't bother me. We let each other have it, the silence, and Risa was happy to walk beside Ambrosius with a hand laid over the old donkey's shoulders. We rested around the fire, passing the skin of potato liquor between ourselves, Geffen and I, while Risa laid in the soft grass with Ambrosius. There were some potatoes we'd packed in clay whistling softly in the coal bed, and I watched them carefully between swallows. The last part of the clay that was still wet was growing smaller toward the tops, and I wanted very much for it to disappear so I could pull them off. I heard Risa's stomach rumble sometimes, and wondered if I should prepare more.
"Where'd you find this great bastard, then?"
Geffen asked. It was the first time he'd spoken in hours, and his eyes never left the fire.
"Toward the iris," I said.
"North, eh?"
"Well, I wasn't digging in the ass."
He passed the skin along and laughed through his nose without smiling.
"Are you all right?"
I asked.
"Keep talking about other things, and I will be soon."
"Okay, yeah. It was up in the mountains. I saw him out there.
Just minding his own, eh?"
"Well..."
I sent the skin back to shut him up, but it didn't work.
"Well?" "I don't want to tell you."
"Oh, Udo.
You fucked him."
"I didn't fuck him.
Kissed him some?"
I looked at him and thought I saw a smile. I smiled back. It seemed he was coming out of it.
"Well, if I thought of leaving your arms, you'd be the first to know."
Then he smiled for sure and nodded slowly. "Come and give, Udo. It's the spirits here. Spirits are for truthin'."
"You'll think I'm crazy," I said.
"Will it?"
"Fuck you, and you will."
"Udo, you're a crier, was once a digger. I'm a tramp, was once a sheriff. What does it matter if we're a touch?"
"What do you mean, once a sheriff?" I asked. "What happened?"
"Take them roots out the fire," he said.
I pinched them from the coals with two sticks and cracked their shells over a flat rock. They steamed and were very soft, so I cut them up, placed the portions into a few squares of cloth, and handed one of the parcels to Geffen. He nodded and cradled them in his hands, began to blow softly into the steam. I called Risa over to sit beside me, and when he stared curiously at his portion, I pointed at my mouth and chewed the air. He smiled, popped half the potato into his mouth, chewed twice, and swallowed easily, as if the damned thing hadn't been piping hot. It made me wince, but seemed not to bother him at all. And when he popped the other half in, he didn't even bother to chew. When I was convinced he hadn't burned the lining from his mouth, I separated the slit of his pant leg to inspect the arrow wound from the other night. We discovered the arrowhead hadn't buried all that deep when we pulled it out, but I'd been keeping a close eye on it regardless, bathing it often in spirits and packing it in moss to avoid festering. Every time I looked, it seemed much better, and that evening by the fire, the cut had faded to a pink line that shimmered like silver skin.
"Here now, leave the boy's cock alone," Geffen chided.
"No, he took an arrow to the leg a while back. I want to see that it's okay."
"Likely story."
"Trust me, if I unfurled it, we'd both be knocked into the fire."
"Does it move like he took an arrow to the leg?"
"No, Doesn't look like he took one either.
Geffen leaned forward to look at the scar. I held the pant leg open so he could see better.
Maybe took an arrow. Some months gone.
Yeah, I agreed. I went to the cart to get some more potatoes and clay. As I rummaged through our goods, Ambrosius got up, ambled over to Risa, and flopped down beside him like an old hound. I returned to my spot by the fire, poured a bit of water over the clay, and began to mold it around Risa's second course. As I worked, I said,
"So, you're not a sheriff anymore?
You're supposed to tell me how you fell in love with the ox."
"No, I asked you first."
Geffen sat upright as if he'd just learned I'd diddled his grandmother.
"Didn't."
"Did.
You're a fucking liar, Udo."
"Yes, and you're a fucking sidestepper." We scowled at each other across the fire a while, and then we both nodded. Sometimes two men bullshitting each other is about as honest as it gets.
"Recruiters came to the Plotzdorf a while back," Geffen said.
He looked deep into the fire and idly tossed in leaves, a few twigs, anything that would burn, really.
"Most of the lads on the watch were spared, owing to the town's security. Sheriff's not so lucky, though. All ever I did was sleep the drunks anyway. So, Captain comes along, says, 'Oh, Geffen, time to pack and come with us, with the rest of these worthies.' Wanted me to go fight the hoofed people down in Valhaz. But I've got nothing against the hoofed people."
He tossed an acorn into the coal bed. It disappeared in a shower of sparks.
"Well, it sounds like they had you. How'd you talk them out of it?"
"Didn't."
"Yet here you are, drinking my medicine. Words aren't my talent, Udo. Not yours."
I looked at one of his hands, draped lazily over a knee. The knuckles were red and swollen, and there were open cuts along the backs of his fingers. Those cuts looked like teeth marks.
"I see. You laid out the captain, or..."
He was quiet long enough that I thought he wouldn't answer. Then he said,
"I guess they'll arrest me for long."
I winced. I knew very little about the law, mostly because it changed so much. Changed with every monarch and every fucking lord. But I thought striking a guard captain might at least fetch a broken arm. That, or they'd rack you and turn the crank until either your shoulders, your hips, or your spine just let go.
"What will you do?" I asked.
"What I've been, I think. Keep moving. Keep throwing for money. When I save enough, figure I'll find a corner of this bloody dragon ain't been ruined with people and live the quiet way.
Good luck."
"Thank you.
I don't know if you'll find such a place."
He nodded.
"I've been looking for it my whole life."
"Maybe back in Valhaz," he said.
"Thought you didn't care to fight the horse fuckers."
"Yo, that's uncharitable, Udo. I said hoofed people, quite specific. And no, don't care to fight them. Might go live with them."
"You're talking crazy now. They'll cut your balls off and boil them into a soup before you take 3 steps across their shores."
Geffen looked at me then, and the smile he gave was a deep thing. It was long, the way days can sometimes be long, the way a minute can sometimes take forever if the minute is right, or if the minute is very wrong.
"Sure, let's talk crazy then, Udo. Crazy's you if you think you'll fight him without the word moving ahead of you."
He pointed at Risa as he said this. "That's not what I'm doing," I muttered.
"Oh, yes?"
I heard a noise on my left that sounded like a badger gutting a fawn. It was Reese's stomach letting me know he would need much more than a single potato. The giant nodded at the large ball of clay heating in the fire and chewed the air at me.
"Yes, Risa, patience. Very soon."
He rested his chin in his hand and scratched Ambrosius along the flank.
"Doesn't say much, does he?"
"He says a few words. A lot of times he repeats what I say, and I don't know if he understands or not. But sometimes I'll tell him to do something, and he'll run off and do it with little trouble." Geffen nodded curiously and addressed himself to the giant.
"Oh, giant."
"Say Risa," I offered.
"Oh, Risa."
The giant looked at Geffen, smiled, and repeated,
"Risa."
Geffen glanced at me, then back at Risa. Have any words? The giant cocked his head. Words, Risa. Can you say any?
Fuck. Cunt stick, Risa grinned.
Geffen looked at me again, but I avoided his gaze. Maybe teach him things better to say, Udo?
Yeah.
I think I was embarrassed at the time, so I started packing more potatoes and clay just to have something to do. I put 3 more into the coals, laid in some more wood, and settled back against my rock.
Well, and so I told you mine, Udo. Come now and out. You found him in the mountains. And then?
I sighed. Pass that skin along. He did, and I drank. The giant wasn't the first thing I found up there.
Yeah?
Well, when I woke up on the mountain...
Woke up there? Drinking too much again?
No, it was something else. Just shut up a while and let me tell it. Just let me tell it, and you can call me shit crazy after. Then I watched him to see if the fucker would say something cute, but he only stared into the fire. When I thought he would stay that way, I continued. I saw her up there, high up where the air is wrong and Erda begins to lose her hold. All the paintings and the tapestries say her hair is blonde, nearly spun gold, and trails the ground behind her, and wherever it touches, flowers grow. We've been told her skin is like Zinkunt's light, shimmer-like. But she's not like that at all. She seems to me as dark as her children, yet not terrible. Her skin is dark like the soil, but it's the most wonderful thing you've ever seen.
You're sure she wasn't painted? Heard they paint their skin in Valhaz.
He was smiling again, as if he were playing a joke. No, it was her real color. And her skin does glow, Geffen, just like they say. But it glows in ways you can't imagine. When the light hits it, it glows darkly, as if it's eating the light, and the warmth that escapes is her body's happiness. I've never seen anyone or anything like her.
Hair's gold, though.
No, black. Black and very short, like wool. Geffen nodded.
Guess it makes sense if the being what her children are supposed to be.
She showed me the world. I wanted to say more, but could not.
See the outside?
No.
Shame. Always wanted to see the outside.
By all the fucking gods, what for? He shrugged.
No one ever has.
Then it was my turn to shrug. He had a point, but it was very hard to see. The outer chaos is supposed to be a terrible place.
So, she showed you the world. Nice and fine, but I can climb a tree and see the whole bastard myself anytime.
No. I sat on a throne. Geffen became very still.
You're coming mighty close there, Udo.
I know.
Coming mighty close to blaspheming.
Yes, I know.
So?
I tried to think of a way to describe it, but at the time I understood very little. I still understand very little, but back then I understood even less. Finally, I said, it's not the clouds that turn, Geffen. It's Erda that turns. She's always turning, around and around forever. Geffen looked up into the trees a little nervously, I thought, and said,
can't feel it.
Erda turns nonetheless. He seemed to think on this a while before banishing the notion with a shake of his head. He pointed at Risa and said,
what about him?
She told me to watch him. He is her son, and I must protect him.
How long?
I don't know.
And you're protecting him?
It's my first thought in the morning and my last in the evening. Geffen laughed, and if I'm being honest, it pissed me off a little.
You're protecting him arranging fights, eh?
They can't hurt him, idiot. He destroyed one of the largest men I've ever seen on accident in our last Kraftkrieg.
That's a fat purse you're lugging.
I threw a stick at him, but he caught it easily and passed it into the fire. I'll use it all to feed the fucker, too. Look, I'm not taking any pleasure in this. It's a constant worry to keep him out of sight, to keep him away from the recruiters. You know they'd snatch him up faster than any 20 farmers. but he must be fed. If you know of some better way to feed a giant, please tell me now. Not enjoying any of it. None of it. Not the money. No. Still telling folks you're a digger? You know I can't. They'd run me out of most places. Sure, Udo. No enjoyment at all. Oh, fuck yourself, Geffen.
Fuck.
Risa laughed. I smiled at him. He made me happy. He was a good lad. Geffen sat up and leaned closer to the fire to stare at the clay. He prodded one with a stick and muttered, Anyway. Sure, nothing. Just, anyway. Don't have anything to say? No. Don't want to call bullshit? He shook his head. Well, why not, goddammit? I was annoyed. I'd been ready to argue my case, only the selfish son of a bitch didn't want to argue. You've never lied to me, Udo. At least not so I couldn't smell it coming. Think I'd know if you're false. Oh, yeah? How so? He pointed at my hands. What's with the linen? I wouldn't answer, and he nodded slowly. That's how, Udo. A false man'll tell you everything he can, and one part'll disagree with the other, and most times you can't inspire him to shut the fuck up once he's started. A true man'll tell you only what's needed, and in your case, you're still hiding plenty. Know how your bullshit smells, my son, and this isn't it. I appreciate your charity. Welcome. Pretty soon, the next round of potatoes were ready, and it took us a while to eat them. All of us except Risa, rather. He swallowed two like they were sparrow's eggs, while Geffen and I blew on our scorched fingers. We passed the skin around again, and when I reluctantly offered it to Risa, he tried a sip. To my great relief, he seemed not to favor it. What will you do tomorrow? I asked. Dunno. I haven't spent so much time planning. Come with us, why don't you? Maybe, he said. But he didn't come. When I awoke the next morning, the son of a whore had gone with Nary a fare thee fucking well. I cursed his name some. I packed up the camp, and as I loaded our supplies into the cart, I cursed him, fucking Geffen, with the most vile slander I could devise. After I ran out of breath, I noticed Risa was very still, staring at me as though something inside of me had broken and he could see it. I sighed and waved him off. It's fine, I said. I'll just need to dream up some new plans. Again. I don't suppose you'd like to do the thinking a while, would you? No? Yeah, figured not. So I guess I'll rack my fucking brain some more, whatever's left of it, Godin bless my fucking balls, and discover a way to make a thrice-damned giant not be a fucking coward. No, Risa, come here. It's all right. Easy. No one's mad at you. I'm not mad at you. You're okay? Come here. Come over here and let me see you. I had to make him bow very low to look up into his eyes. I took his face in my hands and said, What am I going to do with you? He said nothing. What do I do with a monster that won't be a monster? What do I do with a man too timid to contribute to the purse? He still said nothing, but sure looked unhappy. I didn't like it. Smile, Risa. Feel like a smile? Here, like this. I showed him. Eventually, he got it, and when I was sure the smile was true, I nodded tiredly and let him go. I finished putting the camp away while Risa stood around and watched. It didn't take long, as we didn't have much. My purse was bulging fit to split, so I buried it beneath the rest of our things alongside the rusted-out sword. Then I covered it all, took out the sword, considered it a while, and threw the fucking thing into the bushes. My life was already well complicated without its presence. Finally, I hitched the cart to Ambrosius, nodded at Risa, and together we left. I spoke to Risa often as we walked, as often as I spoke to Ambrosius. Either one offered equal conversation, so I strategized with both of them as we cut south. So, what are we to do? How about it, Risa?
Risa?
Yes, fair point. You won't fight, that's clear enough. I guess it's for the best. People are liable to ask questions if you kill too many challengers, but What then? I can't even get you to lose the damn fight if you won't fight to begin with. You're plenty strong, maybe, but... No, labor's no good. You'll draw a giant crowd, and then I'm into the shit with the recruiters again. We were moving through a low field of heather that was choked full of rocks, peat bog, and all sorts of other lovely things, and the cart was starting to hang like a cunt. Eventually, Ambrosius couldn't haul it out of the traps on his own, and Risa would head back to help him. One of these times, the cart was hung up so proper that Risa didn't even bother to pull the hitch. He just picked the entire cart up, carried it forward a few paces, and set it down. It's not fair, I said. No coward should be as strong as you, Risa.
Risa.
I slapped his arm, not roughly, and watched the muscle quiver like a bowstring. If only. Then I started thinking about a good craft, Krieg. About the stone toss or the wagon pull. Risa looked at me curiously, as if he'd understood what I was saying and was waiting for me to finish my thought. Maybe you don't need to fight, Risa.
Risa.
Maybe not. Maybe not at all. Sometime later, I don't know, maybe a day or three, I saw a town crawling up the side of Erda's belly. It seemed a decent size, maybe a touch bigger than Plotzdorf, though it was hard to be sure. I'd not seen Plotzdorf from above by that time. It was a goodly size, though, larger or smaller, so we angled for it, cutting across the fens, across the wheat fields, avoiding every road we saw. There were no woods around this one. It was a problem I struggled with as we approached. Slowly it came down the side of Erda to meet with us, slowly so that you didn't notice it at first, not until you realized you didn't have to look up at it. And then a little later, you saw it was flat, right in front of you, and you couldn't look down into its center anymore. You were stretching your neck to see over to rooftops. You couldn't see over them, though. The angles were all wrong once you neared the edge. I still didn't know where to hide Risa as we approached, so we veered south about a mile out and circled the boundary. We found a large boulder in the field we walked through, so I set a camp close by. After explaining things a while to Risa, and then after telling Ambrosius to keep an eye on him, I pinched a few marks from my purse and made for town. I was still worried someone might happen upon the giant just out in the open like, but there was little help for it. I figured he was far enough away from the town that anyone within would just mistake him for a normal man. Even so, I placed Risa on the other side of that boulder out of sight. If anyone in town knew the size of the boulder, and I had no doubt most of them did, they might figure things out before too long. There wasn't much in the way of defenses. They'd encircled the town with a spiked barricade rather than a true perimeter wall, which would have worked fine during the day, I guess, when there was plenty of light to see. But at night, anyone reasonably careful could have slipped through. It seemed as though the intent was to hold off a large force of attackers, like a raid, rather than controlling who came and went, or keeping out the undesirable elements. Which was plenty good for me when you think about it. Undesirable might as well have been my name. Standing on the edge of the barricade, I turned east and west to look along the span of Erda's circumference. In the light of midday, I saw a single town high, high overhead, and thought I understood. I had to guess it was at least a few days' ride away, though I'd never traveled around the world before, not by half. But any town within sight of the one I now stood near was too far away to be of immediate help in the event of a raid. So it seemed sensible to me that the strength of their defenses would be directed toward the attack they feared most, and individuals could get sorted by the watch. It was what I figured anyway. But even then, when I knew nothing about defenses or even a fight any larger than a drunken brawl, it seemed to me those people should be putting up a solid wall behind that barricade and had foolishly decided to focus their attention elsewhere. It was their town, though, and not mine, so I wasn't about to tell them the error of their ways. They had a few guards stationed at the road leading in, which was also ridiculous. I could have just come in from a field, slip around the barricade, and weave between the buildings to get in. I suppose someone might have seen me and raised the watch, but that's easy enough to get around. You just come in at night, as I think I mentioned earlier. They seemed pretty happy with the arrangement, on the other hand, and I proposed to play along. I sure held that knowledge present, though. One of them raised a hand to me as I approached, and I took a deep breath, reminded myself they didn't know I was a digger. I had to remember I was wearing good clothing now, and had a right to exist just as much as any other citizen of the realm. I stopped a polite distance away and said, "Good day, sirs."
"Welcome to the town of Echternach," the largest one said. "Please state your name, sir, and your business here."
Yander, good sir, hailing from a small village far north of here."
"Village have a name, then?"
"No, sir, but our closest town of note is Plotzdorf." A couple of them nodded. One said,
"I've been up that way once. Lovely country. The Arnsberg's excellent for deer."
"Thank you, sir," I said.
"And your business, then?"
"Crier, sir. I host a traveling concern, little more than a gimmick, really. You see, I have the strongest—"
"You'll need to purchase a writ of assemblage at the hall and then see about renting cobble space from the Merchant Society," said the largest one. He sounded quite bored.
Ain't you got a guild of any sort back home, sir?" "Well, not in my village."
"But you've seen as much in Plotzdorf, of course."
Yes, sir, of course. I just—"
"Well, sir?"
I was worried. I'd been close to saying how surprised I was that they had a guild for anything when they seemed unable to afford proper defenses, but wanted very much not to insult these men. I tried not to cringe too much when I finally said, "It's just that most towns I visit are poorly organized, sir. Not like this one. It's refreshing coming to a place where the folk have their shit properly aligned." A few of them smiled at this, and I congratulated myself for not fucking up before I even got started, though the large one seemed unaffected. He grunted in a manner I could not read and said,
"Town hall's just up the street, sir. I'd start there."
I nodded and said, "Please, sir, I was wondering. I'd planned not to take up any space in your town."
"Oh, another one," the large guard interrupted. "Want to duck the tax, eh?"
"No, that's not—"
"Wants to come suck the money out without putting any in, I see."
"No, no, please, what I meant was—"
"Love the type, don't you, lads? Has wants to come to town, drink the beer, fuck the women, con the money—"
"Sir, I'm sorry, I really must insist—"
"Don't interrupt me, Yander, it's rude. So what say the rest of you, hey? Let him in? Turn him away?"
"I say he seems half a cunt,"
one of the others said. I struggled to contain myself. Honestly, how was it that things always seemed to end up on the wrong end of a fuck chicken? It was like a magic goddamned power I possessed since birth. Most of the time, I would have to just slunk away before anyone could attack me. But there were more there than I could reasonably run away from, and a couple had billhooks. They could put me on my ass before I took a step. "Sirs, please, allow me to explain, please. May I?" They all stared at me as if I'd violated their sisters. "I was trying to say that I didn't want to congest your streets, sir. Based on our history together, we tend to draw a largish crowd, you see, and sometimes it causes trouble for the other merchants, and we don't wish to make it a hard go for other—"
"Oh, freaks, tits, he's laying it on thick, ain't he?"
said a younger chap holding a billhook.
"Nah, easy, freaks. It sounds reasonable," said the big one. "Unless you want crowd control."
"Dunno. Depends,"
said Fricks. The big one looked back at me and said,
"What's the game?"
"Strength contests, sir, that's all."
"Season for that's over, Yander."
"Not a craft creek, sir. Just a few contests of strength. I travel, sir, with the strongest man in all of air—"
"Save the lay for those as give a shit. You can avoid rent to the society by setting up outside. You must still attain a writ of assemblage at the town hall."
"Even if I'm not assembling in the town?"
"If it's your wish to do commerce with the people of Echternach, you must attain a writ. If you don't, and I have to come break it up, and then especially if I have to do it when I should be enjoying my supper at home, I'll break it up unkindly. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?"
"I do, sir."
"Well done. You may pass."
"I'm sorry, sir, may I ask a question?" He sighed. If it's quick. Yes, sir. I just wanted to know, what's the mark here? A few of the guards looked at each other. The big one said, You've been on the road a while then, Yander? Not so long, but further every day, it seems. He shrugged. The Lord Ambrosius is on the bottom, he said. So, we were still in Ambrosius's territory. That was good. You can change out at the town hall as well. Rates 2-1, take it or leave it. You'll have to take it, though. The society bars trade in any but our Lord's coin. No, it's all right, I said. All of my coin is local, it would seem. Fine, then. Now please go away. Thank you for your help, sirs. As soon as I got around the first bend in the street and they could no longer see me, I went to go lean up against a building. I noticed my hands were shaking when I rubbed them out of my pant legs, and it was a few minutes before I was breathing normally again. I'd been half convinced they would send me to the stocks.